for et VM, altså.
Ja, den Canadian apple smoked til pølsa var god.
Nei, jeg merker jo nå at det blir ikke 4 år til neste VM.
4 timer, eller?
ja.
Hos Esso står VM for velsmakende måltid. Prøv vår Canadian apple smoked pølse til kun 59 kroner. Velkommen til VM hos Esso. They're waking up with the sunrise low,
bulletproof coffee, they're ready to go. Velkommen til Biohacking Girls podcast, der vitenskap møter livsstil, og der vi tar kontroll over vår egen helse.
Vi dykker ned I teknologi, ernæring, trening og mentale hacks for å styrke kropp og sinn. Det handler om å bruke naturens prinsipper for å finne balanse, energi og glede.
Vi tester, utforsker og lever som vi lærer alt for å inspirere deg til å finne din vei til et balansert og godt liv.
For det alle kan få dette til, og sammen kan vi gjøre kunnskap til praksis og skape varig forandring. Du klar for å ta steget inn I fremtiden? La oss hacke livet sammen.
Today we have a very special guest with us, someone who has become a dear friend of the Biohacking Girls community here in Norway, Leslie Kenny.
And she is the founder of Oxford Healthspan and one of the leading voices globally in the field of healthy aging and longevity. She has dedicated years of her life to understanding how we can support ourselves, how we can slow biological aging and live longer with vitality.
She's also one of the most loved speakers at our conference. And this year, she's joining us again at Biohacking Week in Norway for the 5th time.
Wow. And today we are going to dive into a topic that has created enormous interest in the longevity world, her spermidine, a naturally occurring compound linked to autophagy, cellular renewal, and also healthy aging.
We will talk about what it actually is, clear up some myths, and discuss the difference between food-derived and synthetic sources, and hear what Leslie is currently seeing in the global longevity space. So welcome to the week's podcast. Biohacking girls, taking the lead, the future
is bright, and they're planting the seed. Wonderful, thank you so much. What a fabulous introduction. I'm not sure I quite deserve it, but I'm very grateful for that, and also for your friendship, and frankly, for the friendship of so many wonderful people in Norway who have become clients, friends, confidants. And I so look forward to seeing everyone in a few weeks' time at your conference.
Very good. I just came back from Miami, and Jason and Melissa Sonners, the doctors, they send their love to you too. And they wish so much they could be here with us this year too. But unfortunately, we cannot travel to all the congresses. But you are quite busy, Leslie. You travel so much. Tell us, what was the latest you discovered in this biohacking longevity community?
The latest, well, I was in Madrid last week for Longevity World Forum. And it was amazing to me that I got to be on the same stage that Felipe Sierra, who ran the National Institute for Aging at the National Institute for Health in Washington, D.C. for 18 years. He spoke near Barzilai, who is a professor at Albert Einstein College, doing a really innovative, groundbreaking study on metformin using FDA-approved methods. He was there speaking, as was Jean-Marc Lemaitre, who runs INSERM, the Institute for Regenerative Medicine and Biotherapies in France. So it's France's NIA. And I just thought, I can't pinch me. I can't believe I'm with all these amazing scientists. But what was so funny was when I asked Felipe Sierra, what's your secret? What do you do? You've been doing this for decades. He said, actually, I don't do anything at all because we were told we were not to favor any one thing at the NIA, so I did none of it, which I thought was so funny. And it dovetailed with some data that Nir Barzilai put up about some of the long-lived individuals, where he showed that 50% of them did not engage in what we today would consider heavy physical activity. So they weren't doing CrossFit. They weren't going to, to the gym all the time. It was a different generation, right? People who are centenarians now grew up at a very different time, and their exposome was necessarily different to ours, or to say those of our children. So it was interesting to hear that. But I did ask both Nir Barzilay and Jean-Marc Lemaitre what they're doing. And Nir said he's doing intermittent fasting and metformin. And Jean-Marc said he's also doing metformin and gardening.
Excellent.
He's quite the gardener. And Felipe Sierra is a wonderful artist. So he certainly gets into flow that way and connects with his sense of purpose. So those were some of the private talks I had with some of these amazing leaders in longevity. But the other takeaway I had from the conference in Madrid was just how interconnected the 12 hallmarks of aging are. And these are things we've talked about before: stem cell dysfunction, mitochondrial dysfunction, inflammation, gut dysbiosis, shortened telomeres. And what Nir said was that you only need to impact one. If you can influence one of those hallmarks meaningfully, because they're all intertwined, you have a potential benefit across all 12. And as you know, I personally love spermidine because it simultaneously impacts 9 of the 12 pathways down which we age. And so I just feel like, fantastic. Then your body only has to contend with, say, 3 of them. And it's a lot easier to do that when the other 9 are taken care of.
That's for sure. That's not so overwhelming, some do all 12 of them. But Leslie, I can totally see you among these great scientists. I have no problem seeing you there.
Very flattered. Thank you.
And today we would love to bust some myths with you, because there's so many things been saying about the spermidine lately, and we have to get this straight. So the first myth we want to have your opinion on is synthetic spermidine is the same as food-derived spermidine?
No, it is absolutely not the same. As a matter of fact, we have no clinical trials with synthetic spermidine for efficacy. All the clinical trials that showed any kind of physical benefit were done using food-derived spermidine. So we simply don't know how it's going to work. Now, there have been some studies using cell lines and mice with spermidine, but these things don't always translate to humans. So we want to be a little bit careful. And food-derived spermidine, it comes in beans, in mushrooms. It's also in mature cheese. It's in all plants, and we make it ourselves. That is something that the body recognizes a molecule in plants, because we've co-evolved over millennia with plants. So it recognizes that. But spermidine in food also comes as part of a complete nutrient package. Imagine an orange. It's not the same having an orange and having some synthetic vitamin C, because we know that in the orange, the fiber, the white fiber on the outside, actually feeds the gut biome. We know that there are other nutrients inside the orange as well that help with the absorption of, say, the vitamin C or the function in the body. And it's exactly the same with spermidine. When it comes in a nutrient package from food, it has other cofactors, co-occurring compounds. And in this case, it would be things like putrescine, terrible name, and spermine, another, not wonderful name, named by men, by the way. And these things help with not just the absorption and function, but they also are part of something called the polyamine recycling pathway. So if you have, say, all three, which we do have all three in Primadine Original, then you are going to be able to make more of it. If you have, say, putrescine, this is the way Primadine gluten-free is, you have the precursor to both spermidine and spermine. Well, your body will need to take the extra step to make the spermine, but at least you have the other two there. You need that raw material of the putrescine and the spermidine together, which helps. And then if you've got the extra spermine, that helps with something called DNA methylation, or turning good genes on, bad genes off. And that is necessarily important as we get older and more mistakes are made. So, you know, for those reasons, plant-derived is the way to go. There is a single study on safety with synthetic spermidine, only one. It was only done in men and only for 28 days. So we have no idea what happens when you take it chronically.
Oh, but since you brought up men and spermidine connected to men, because the name spermidine makes people think it has something to do with sperm, is that actually true? Or is it one of the biggest misunderstandings about molecules?
Well, actually, it is true. It has to do with spermatozoa. So Antony van Leeuwenhoek, the 17th century Dutch microbiologist who discovered spermidine, he actually was the first person to see the wriggling sperm under a lens. And it was because of that that he then named this spermatozoa. In fact, he called them animalcules. He thought they were little animals. So we almost, instead of spermatozoa, we almost had animalcules instead. But yes, it is connected. And you need spermidine to make sperm. So you also need spermidine in order to make eggs. You need spermidine to make a stronger embryo. You need spermidine to help the embryo grow. So it is very essential to the survival of the next generation, both the seeds and the growth of that generation.
But how does the spermidine fit into the a hormone conversation for women?
Oh, yeah. Excellent, excellent question. So because of the fact that spermidine activates the cell renewal process known as autophagy, but also will renew mitochondria through a process called mitophagy, when you are able to do that to reproductive tissue, you get healthier, younger ovarian and uterine cells. And what do they make? They make hormones. So this is very helpful as we get older, and perhaps some of the cells in the ovaries and in the uterus become older. It's also very important when you're younger for fertility, useful for the endometrium, the lining of the uterus that the embryo needs to implant in. But again, because this process of autophagy and mitophagy, new cells and new batteries inside the cell, this is important not just for reproductive tissue, but systemically throughout the body. So for the pituitary as well, you know, when we think again about hormone release, but things like melatonin, right? We need our pituitary to be functioning properly to continue to manufacture some of these key hormones we need to induce sleep. And I've been looking at some amazing research on sleep. And the more I look at it, the more I think it's so fundamental. It's free. It's often overlooked because we're so busy. We are very distracted either by our phones or Netflix or Apple TV or something that we take it for granted. But sleep is really important. And so getting the pituitary working so that the pituitary and the photoreceptors in the eyes that sync with sunlight and darkness to make melatonin in that perfect rhythm so that we get good sleep at night. That's really important, and spermidine helps with that.
Cool. But then I have a question. Do you take it at night? Is that better?
I do take it at night for me, but it really depends. I always ask people to experiment. So the important timing with spermidine is going to be around the natural fast you do when you're asleep. Mm-hmm. We might forget that when we're asleep, we are actually fasting, but that's a great thing to leverage. And you can leverage it by taking spermidine with the last food of the night or the first food of the morning. So I always say, imagine it like bookends, right? So if you kickstart that cell renewal and mitochondrial renewal process before sleep, you're just going to get more benefit while asleep. Or if you take it with the first food of the morning, you're going to extend the benefits you had overnight. So I like to bookend. But if for some reason I'm in a rush and I miss it in the morning, I never miss it at night. Never.
Very good. I always have it at the bathroom, so I take it before I go to bed. Yeah. So let's dig into more myths, because of course we are biohackers and we follow Dave Asprey. And tell us about the myth that more is better.
Well, this might be a true male biohacker thing. Sorry, Danny, to any boy biohackers listening. And truth in advertising. I was one of the first bulletproof coaches that Dave Asprey trained, but. The problem is this idea that more is better. It's not always the case. And in fact, there's another saying that the poison is in the dose, right? For example, with vitamin B6, you can't have too little, but you also shouldn't have too much. If you have too little or too much, you're going to get neuropathy or tingling in your legs. So the Goldilocks zone is what we're looking for. How do we establish the Goldilocks zone? We look at clinical trials. What dose has worked in humans? And what we know with plant or food-derived spermidine is you want a minimum effective dose of 1 milligram, and you can safely go up to 6 milligrams. But now I'm seeing people on Instagram and X say, oh, well, I'm taking 40 milligrams, and other people, I'm taking 60. Now, one, they're taking synthetic. We have no safety data at all. And in fact, when we have tested our primidine head-to-head with synthetic in the lab, we can see sometimes the synthetic does nothing. It's a big fat zero. Is that because the synthetic is not even spermidine? I don't know. Is it because it's adulterated with something else? I can't tell you, but I know it does not always show any effect at all. So there's that, but we don't know what the effect of taking it every single day is after 28 days. We know that, yes, men can take it safely for 28 days, but what happens if you take it every day? Because spermidine is like vitamin C. We're regularly excreting it. We're not storing it. So you need to continually top it up. And that's why the body is capable of making it when we're young. We can make it in our tissues and we can make it in our gut biome. But we need to keep bringing it into our bodies as we get older, more and more through plants in our diet.
And this is actually nice because I'm waiting for your gummies to come to Norway. If you could make spermidine gummies, you can keep them in your pocket and you can dose throughout the day, because since it's like vitamin C, you could probably do that 3 times a day.
Well, you could. Again, I think that given the benefits are really around, the big benefits are autophagy and mitophagy. I still feel that sleep window is the time to go in big, go all in then. But gummies, yes, the Kardashians have introduced spermidine gummies. This was something that just recently happened. And the problem with gummies is that generally, one, you don't get enough of the product in the gummy. Two, in order to make it nice tasting and to give you that gummy, bite, you have to put a lot of junk in there. And I'll never forget Vital Proteins, was once a small company and it got sold. And right after it got sold, they brought out melatonin gummies. Mm-hmm. And I looked at these in the airport at LAX thinking, what a great idea. These would be fun. And the very first ingredient was high fructose corn syrup. Well, you're going to be doing more harm than good. And the reality is that the majority of gummies are kind of junk. Mm. So you've got to think about the quality. I don't think I'm going to be coming out with any gummies anytime soon. I'm sorry, Monica. But
no,
I just
can't
put enough nutrition into them. That's really the problem.
We understand that. But it's worth talking about because there's so much products out there. So we need to be aware of what you're telling us now about the ingredients in all these ultra-processed vitamins and supplements too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Read the label. And certainly if they're coming from the United States, be aware that high fructose corn syrup could be among the top three ingredients. I mean, even if it's not one of the top three, I still wouldn't take it. Those Kind bars, I thought, oh, these look good. And then I noticed that they use high fructose corn syrup. I'm thinking they look so clean. Why add rubbish in when they could have made it such a clean product that they chose not to, I suppose, for economic reasons.
Yeah, we really have to use our eyes and be really critical when we read the ingredients.
But exactly.
You brought up autophagy. So another myth is that autophagy is only relevant when we're old.
Oh, no, absolutely not. So I think certainly both of you know my story that when I was 39, I was diagnosed with lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. And what I had, I was prematurely aging at age 39. It probably had started several years earlier when I was 35. What that means in reality is that I had some immune cells that had become senescent or zombie cells. These cells are cells that are no longer capable of replicating, you know, duplicating themselves properly. And so the body parks them and says, be quiet, don't cause any trouble. So they sit there, but they actually do cause trouble because they are releasing inflammatory signals. And so tissue around them, and in my case, other immune cells, were getting poisoned, zombified by these senescent immune cells. So one of the great things about spermidine, and this is the research done at the University of Oxford, is that spermidine rejuvenates senescent immune cells. Now, I don't count cell senescence, even though it is one of the 12 hallmarks of aging. I don't say that spermidine can reverse all senescence because I can't prove that. I can only prove that it does that with immune cells. It might do it with other things, but I'm not going to make that claim. But the fact that you can and you might need to get rid of these senescent cells when you're younger, I am the great case in point because I was biologically older than my 39 chronological years. And now I think I've flipped the script, which is great.
Wonderful. We should go into the next myth. Longevity is about living forever, Leslie.
Well, yes. So I have met a few transhumanists who are very much for the death of death. And while everyone is entitled to their opinion, I'm not so, that's not my goal. And in fact, again, because I was told at age 39 that I had 5 years left to live, my goal was simply to outlive those 5 years. I wanted to live past age 44. And I'll soon be 61. And I have to say, I feel healthier, stronger, better, more vital, more vibrant, with more purpose in life than I did at 39. My biological age is 21, which is great. And I don't need to live forever. I want to live within nature's rhythms. I want to be as good as I can be within that natural world. But I don't need to live for hundreds of years like the vampires on Buffy or in Twilight, you know. It's not really for me. As they all point out, there are disadvantages to that, right? So yes, it's not for me personally. I don't think we are there yet. None of the serious scientists that I have met have said that we are close to that. The most I'm hearing is that 120. Mm. 120 is a good thing to shoot for, healthy. And maybe for later generations, maybe 150. But we have to stay healthy throughout our younger years too, right?
I was just watching the movie The Substance.
Scary film. Scary, horrible film.
Oh my God.
I asked my youngest daughter to come over to watch it with me. And I was like, oh, I should not have asked her to watch it with me. It was so horrifying.
I mean, what you could do in order to change your life to get healthy or fitter, but in the end you would collapse.
Yes, I think so. And what we're seeing, you know, there's a movement in the United States now among these young men who are body maxers, and they're taking hammers to their jaws to, you know, make their jaws more masculine, and they'll do any kind of surgery to fit their ideal masculine image. And I think this idea of transhumanism, of living forever, comes out of that movement of, I'm going to control everything. If I see something I don't like, I will change it, even if that's my biology. And this idea that we have control over nature, well, You're in Norway. You are face to face with nature all the time, and nature is awe-inspiring and beautiful and powerful. But to think that we humans can control it is, yes. Yeah. I think that's an ideal that other people have. It's not one that I've heard scientists say we're able to get to. And for example, a great example of this is Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, both spending lots of money on Blue Horizon and, you know, SpaceX. And of course, Jeff Bezos putting in $1 billion for Altos Labs, which is studying the Yamanaka factories. These are the three, four factories that allow you to take any cell and turn it into a pluripotent cell that can become anything. These guys want to colonize Mars, but, you know, going through space, we age exponentially. We will die before we get there. Mm. You know, I work with a scientist who runs the UK's only space innovation lab. And truly, you know, you will age so fast. So there are a lot of ideas people have. They sound like they come out of comic books. I'm going to live forever ever, and I'm going to colonize Mars. Well, there are some problems you have to iron out first.
But in the Bible, it says that the earth belongs to God and everything that contains the earth. And for me, that means that we don't own nature. We don't own each other either, or myself. I'm just borrowing, you know?
Yes, yes. And I like to think of that. We're visitors, right? Yes. We're visitors and stewards. For the time that we are here, we are stewards, and we are part of the Indians and Native Americans talk about 7 generations. We are part of, you know, many generations who honor and respect nature. And there are many things that we can do within that, but to aim to live forever, certainly we don't have the technology to do it right now. And to make that a goal, certainly not my goal.
I do agree with you there, Leslie. Not my goal either.
Yeah, not my goal either.
No.
One thing I was going to say that I hadn't mentioned before was some new science that came out of Japan last year around spermidine, the immune system, and cancer. And I've always been very careful to talk about cancer because years ago, when they took cell lines, cancerous cell lines in a petri dish, and they put spermidine in, they could see the cells would grow. And last year, 4 papers came out of Japan, and about 2 or 3 were authored by a Kyoto University professor named Tetsuko Honjo, who won the Nobel Prize in 2018 for his work on cancer tumorigenesis. He is the person whose work led to the development of an immunotherapy called Keytruda. Keytruda is what we gave to President Jimmy Carter when he had cancer, and he was much older, and it worked. So this person is a Nobel laureate. He is a cancer expert, and he is behind one of the blockbuster cancer immunotherapies. And his papers were on spermidine. He did a mouse trial in his lab. And what he said was he took elderly mice, he gave them cancers, made them riddled with cancers, and then he gave them spermidine to see what would happen. Would the cancers get bigger, or would it actually benefit the immune system? Now, when we eat plant-derived spermidine, it goes through the intestines, and what lines the intestines is around 70% of the immune system, because there are immune receptors to look for anything foreign that comes into the body and make sure it's safe. But when spermidine gets there first, it gets rid of the zombie immune cells. And when you have new, brand new immune cells that have brand new battery packs, so they have energy, they can identify and eliminate cancer. And that was amazing to see that work, because it was something that I had thought made sense to me, but I couldn't prove it. And now I don't have to. I have not just a cancer expert, but I have the Nobel Prize winner for his work on cancer tumor growth saying this is how this appears to be working, and spermidine may be a good therapy for cancer patients in the future. Since the publication of those papers, one paper has come out of China saying that for breast cancer patients using immunotherapy, if they have spermidine together with the immunotherapy, their cancer declines faster. They have better results. So that's very exciting.
Very exciting.
In the world of autophagy, spermidine, and long life.
Absolutely. But we are flooded with supplements these days. Someone is earning a lot of money on supplements. So yeah. Another myth that we usually hear is supplements can replace your lifestyle.
Never. Never. You know, you don't kid yourself. There really aren't shortcuts. And I would say sleep is fundamental for recovery. You need good food. And you need movement and social connection. Don't think that you can have shortcuts around these. They're fundamentals, right? Mm-hmm. They're key pillars of healthy aging. And also, why would you want to waste all your money when you can get so many of these things for free? Look at the healthy centenarians. Now, their diets are full of spermidine-rich foods. They have lots of social connection. They don't have a lot of stress. They have lots of functional movement, and they get plenty of sleep, and they sleep in accordance with the sunlight and moonlight. So maybe we should start there and then optimize with these other things. But I'm a food first kind of person. Please don't take this supplement and think you can have McDonald's and a lot of fried food. It's not going to work.
No, you're just going to waste your money. That's
exactly.
For sure. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And even to buy quality products, we had several podcasts with you earlier, Leslie, about that, because you're just going to pee out money if you buy bad quality products.
Exactly. In fact, I'm working now with the Japan Autophagy Consortium. We've been a member. Oxford HealthSpan has been a member of the consortium. It's a grouping of Japanese government, Japanese industry, and academia. They've come together to try and use this idea of autophagy to make their population age more healthily. And they've very kindly asked me to be their global executive ambassador to convince other supplement companies to adopt their quality seal that shows that their supplements have been tested and have been shown to activate autophagy in the lab so that we can prove it. So you know you're not having something that's, you know, just come off a container ship from China, that we aren't sure what the provenance is or if it is even the compound that it says on the label, which was another eye-opening thing that Andrea Meyer presented at a conference I was at in Geneva several months ago, where she said they tested 20 NAD supplements, 20 urolithin A supplements, and something like, I think only three or four had the actual ingredient and the amount that they said they had on the label. There were a whole number, maybe five or six, that had nothing. Not that ingredient at all. Others that had a very, very tiny amount. And, you know, you have to understand that there is a great incentive to create supplements that are no different from street drugs. You can adulterate these. A white powder, you know, you look at the capsule, that's a white powder. Well, so many things look like white powder. Mm-hmm. In Great Britain, a couple of hundred years ago, we had this problem with chocolate, where people were taking brick powder and wood pulp and putting it in with the chocolates. And, you know, that's the only reason why Cadbury's chocolate at the time did well. Cadbury's, it was a Quaker family, and they'd taken an oath to God. They will not cheat other people. And that was the rise of the British chocolate industry. It was dominated by Quakers who did not adulterate their products. But we've got this problem with supplements today. And there are also counterfeits on Amazon. We don't sell on Amazon. We will never sell on Amazon. There's so little quality control. So that's the other thing I'm working on at the moment with the Japan Autophagy Consortium, is taking their quality mark from Japan and then getting it out into the rest of the world. I guess we'll start with the United States and then Europe after that.
I'm so glad to hear that. And we will hear so much from you when you're going to come and speak at the Biohacking Weekend about autophagy, mitochondria, immune resilience, longevity, everything. But before we end this conversation, because we talked about quality products here, and I really love the peptides, but also it's so important to have quality control and sourcing.
Yes.
Would you share your thoughts on peptides, Leslie?
Well, we're all familiar with peptides, whether it's collagen peptides or GLP-1s. We don't have a fear of injecting ourselves anymore. But the problem is, again, quality. And in a random test that was done last year on liquid peptides, injectables, 8% had biotoxins. So what if you inject yourself? I mean, we've all heard the horror stories with Botox, right? Somebody gets a bad Botox job or filler job, and it leads to sepsis or much worse. And I think that, or remember Linda Evangelista, she did that cold therapy, Sculptra, and then she was left with these sort of brick-like cubes on her body. We don't know how everyone's immune system is going to react to the peptides, even if they are clean. But secondly, there is a high enough risk of them being adulterated with biotoxins that knowing where you get them from is everything. Provenance is everything. So if you go down this route, work with a trusted practitioner who is sourcing them from a lab where they have test results to show no biotoxins, no heavy metals, no salmonella, no E. coli, right? Because that would be terrible. Mm. You know, if we just make that one mistake, think about what we do to our health. We take ourselves 10 years backwards. We don't want to do that. So I think we need some precautions. We need to take precautions right now. I think there will be regulations coming in. And Callie Means, who works with Bobby Kennedy at the U.S. Health and Human Services department. He was speaking at a conference in, I think, Las Vegas that I was at, and he went to Harvard, like me, and he did say that peptides is an interesting area, and I think we will see some things coming out very shortly on ways to use them safely, at least in the United States.
I totally agree. Yeah. I totally agree. I couldn't agree more, actually, because it's now lately I've been seeing in Scandinavia, and it's not admitted to receive peptides to Norway. You cannot send them to Norway. Mm. But there's some Scandinavian companies, and they're way too cheap. There's not third-party tested papers on the side. Yeah. So, I mean, but it's hard for people to understand these things. So we need to clarify some thoughts here.
Yeah. I, you know, with both supplements and peptides, I always say especially to my women friends, I think we know more about how to identify counterfeit handbags than we do counterfeit supplements or Botox. But we have to educate ourselves, right? Mm. So trusted source with test results, independent lab test results showing these are clean, pure products, no biotoxins inside. I mean, that's the first hurdle. Just make sure it's clean, right?
Thank you. So, Leslie, give us a little teaser of what you're going to speak about at the conference.
Some of the new products that are coming out, products or therapies, let's call them therapies, that really will make 60 the new 20.
Oh my God. Can't wait to hear all this.
Yeah. So these are coming down the track. Some of them are with us now, but some will be here in 10 years or sooner. And they're very exciting.
Wonderful. And we hear that you have become a golf player too. So we will probably meet you at the golf course too soon.
Yes. We will be hitting some balls. Yeah.
Have you heard that the golf players are the longest living people?
No, are they?
Oh, yes, they are. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was tennis players. Oh, that's really interesting.
No. Golfers, they're outside all day. They don't have their phone. They are with other people. They do the circadian. They do everything. The only thing is the glyphosate that they spray the golf course with.
Yes, true. Wow. Very true. But I bet you don't use it in Norway.
Oh, yes. They use it all over. But there are some courses here in Spain that they don't use glyphosates. But,
really?
The trick here is to use high socks, like up to your knees.
Okay. Good. I'm gonna go and get some. I might look a bit silly, but anything for my health, right?
A bit Jane Fonda-ish. You can leg warmers or something.
Yeah, leg warmers. Exactly. I'll do leg warmers. Exactly. That's interesting. I think the circadian link could be the big change because. Yeah. As we get older, the cells, the photoreceptors in our eyes that allow us to sync with the sun and make more melatonin at the right time, they become less functional. Now, autophagy will help them, but we have to take note of that. And in particular, the photoreceptors of women age before those of men. Why? Menopause. Another reason to take some HRT.
Because of the hormone decline.
Because of hormonal impact on those photoreceptors, yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, so much to learn from you. And thank you so much again, Leslie, for sharing your knowledge.
Absolutely. See you soon. Can't wait to see you. Bye.
And they're planting the seed. So before we wrap up today, we want to mention something that's been in the media lately. A lab study showed that spermidine can help cancer cells grow in petri dish. Basically, a lab dish where cells are grown outside the body. But that's not the same as what happens in a real human. In those experiments, scientists and spermidine straight onto isolated cancer cells with no immune system, no hormones, and none of the body's normal control systems. Many nutritions can make cells grow faster in that kind of setup. In real life, spermidine mainly comes from food, and research over the last decade suggests it may actually support healthy aging and immune function, partly by supporting autophagy, the cell's cleanup process that helps the immune system stay strong. So the main message is a petri dish result doesn't automatically mean it's dangerous in humans. For most people, food sources of spermidine are part of a normal and healthy diet. And they're planting the seed. Det var veldig hyggelig å ha med Leslie Kenny. Hele episoden er engelsk, og vi legger linker til det studiet hun snakket om, samt selvfølgelig link til Biohacking Weekend, og vi håper du kommer 21. og 22. mars.
Happy
biohacking! Vi minner om at dere må snakke med egen lege eller kostholdsveileder om dietter og andre spørsmål relatert til medisiner og supplementer. Informasjon vi deler kan ikke bli brukt til å diagnostisere, behandle, forebygge eller kurere noen sykdommer eller tilstander.
Eier du din egen bedrift? Da betalingsløsningen fra SumUp det du har drømt om. Hold styr på alt fra ordrer, betalinger og kvitteringer, til refusjoner, salgstall og produktkataloger. SumUp gir deg kontroll på alt på ett og samme sted. Kjøp SumUp og selvkjøp.